Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, before we get started, I want to thank those who've given to this year's listener support campaign. Among them, Jay Olson, access to the premium site, which I do with all donations of $7 or more. Among those who give $20 or more during our listener support campaign, we will give a free digital copy of All I Needed to Know I Learned from Columbo, plus one other thank you gifts. Among the thank you gifts available at the $20 level, we have your choice of my ebooks, including What Made the Golden Age Shine, which is my look at what's so special about Golden Age entertainment, as well as some great superhero comedy novels, Tales of the Dim Night, Fly Another Day, or Powerhouse Hard Press, all available with a donation of $20. And at the, I want to call your attention to the physical books we'll send out to those in the U.S. and Canada. At the $50 level, you can get an autographed copy of one of my books if you're in the U.S. and Canada, or you can get two Michael Shane private detective novels, actual original paperback novels in perfectly readable condition, $50, and we'll send you two pocket books. And at the $100 level, we have John Abbott's Who is Johnny Dollar series, really tremendous, great research, great for the Johnny Dollar fan out there. And we will send those along at the $100 level. All right. And also, over at the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio, we've got a couple articles up. A review of Powder River Season 3 on Friday, on Saturday, and then on Sunday, my review of Prisoner's Base by Rex Stout. All right. Well, now it's time for today's episode of the lineup. And we had a few lost episodes, five lost episodes. But we're going to bring you this episode from May the 6th, 1952. Here is Babs the Baggy Bungling Brunette Bombshell Case. And let's go ahead and take a listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take you now by transcription behind the scenes of a police headquarters in a great American city, where under the cold, glaring lights will pass before us the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. This is the lineup.
Each of the suspects you'll see will be numbered. I'll call out the number, their name, and charge. If you have any questions or identifications, please remember the number assigned to the prisoner as I call his name. You're sure or not too sure the suspects have him held?
I'll certainly be positive.
All right, bring down the line. Okay, keep it moving right over here to the end of the stage. Come on, boys, come on. Now turn and face front. Hands at your sides and look straight ahead. Straight out through the screen, that's it. Now when I call out your number, step out. Keep facing front and talk up so everybody can hear you. I want all those people out there to get a good look at you. Phantom robbery. Okay, James, where do you live?
Room in the house.
Where?
114 South 19th Street.
What kind of work you do?
I'm a bricklayer. Work on construction jobs.
Where do you work?
I ain't working. I'm in jail.
Where'd you work before you were picked up?
Chilton Construction Company.
How long did you work for them?
3 days.
Why'd you leave?
Couldn't make any money. They never give us no overtime.
Your car?
Yeah. What car? 36 Chevy.
Hey, you're number two. Where do you think you're going?
You're gone. Ain't going nowhere. Are you kidding?
Get back in line.
I'm just tired of standing still.
Get back in line and stay there.
Okay. I get nervous when I gotta stay in one place.
Now be quiet.
Okay, I'm quiet. He hates me because I move.
All right, knock it off.
Yes, sir.
Let's see, where was it?
Looks like Pete has his hands full, yeah.
Come on.
Right, number one and two were picked up together. They've been given every picture of
us. 36,
Shirley.
No, not many.
Blue 51 Oldsmobile.
Where'd you get it?
I didn't get it. Lee had it.
Who's Lee?
Me. I'm Lee.
Never mind. Lee Willard, number two. Okay, Stanton, step back. Number two, Lee Willard, robbery.
I tell you.
Step out, Lee. Stand still and keep your head up. Where do you live, Lee?
114 South 19th Street, same place Jim did.
Where do you work?
Well, I ain't working right now. I'm kind of between jobs.
When you do work, what do you do?
Well, I've been a carpenter.
You own a crowbar?
Oh, boy, sure, all carpenters own crowbars.
How come you had the crowbar with you last night?
Oh, I don't know. I usually have it with me.
Hanging on your belt under your top coat?
Sure, that's a good place to carry.
You know anything about a liquor store that was broken into at Leland and Spurks last night?
Oh, I should say not.
You own a car?
Well, it was picked up in one.
That isn't what I asked you. Do you own a car?
Yeah,
What car?
The 41 Dodge sedan.
Where is it?
Up in Oregon. I let my girlfriend use it.
Where'd you get the 51 Oldsmobile you were picked up in?
Well, that's a long story.
Well, cut it down. I'll be glad to listen.
I lived up in Oregon, you see, Portland.
Ben, no, go ahead. And if you ever met...
Move down here, came in. Together. Sure. Up here with you.
See you later, Quine.
Very
nice to meet you, Mr. Fox.
Sure thing, Lieutenant.
Real nice to me, so I figured it'd be nice if I was up for him.
Huh? What's up, Asher? Safety drug store, 23rd and Slauson was held up. No, just one person did the job, woman. Got excited and shot the cashier. Doc Gerson doesn't think there's much hope for him.
Mm. They get a good description of her?
Well, the clerk thought he recognized her.
Now, where's the clerk now?
Out at the drugstore.
I was working over in the liquor department, right over there. This girl comes walking by, and you know, when you think you met somebody before, you kind of smile and speak?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she gives me a real cold stare.
Are you positive you've seen her before?
Well, yeah, I'm 95% sure.
Well, where was it you saw her before?
Well, I was out in Garden Grove. If it's the same dame, and I'm pretty sure it is, she was a stripper in a nightclub.
How long ago was this?
Oh, about a year and a half ago.
What was her name?
Well, I don't know what her real name was. They call her Babs, a brunette bombshell.
Did anyone see how she got away from here?
Yeah, Ed. He works in the candy department. It's up front, right by the door. He said she ran out and jumped in a blue 47 Ford coupe. He didn't get the license number or anything. Ed gets real excited when something happens.
Well, we'd like
to... I don't blame him much. I was excited, too.
Yeah. Well, we'd like you to come down to headquarters with us, Mr. Wells. See if you can find a picture in the mug file. She may have a previous record.
Oh, sure. I'd be glad to. I guess the manager will let me off.
I think he will. We'll talk on. You stick with Wells, Dave. I'll pick Cogger up and take a run out to the Blue Grotto. Are you the owner here?
Yeah. Number
police, Mr. Roselli. I'm Lieutenant Guthrie. This is Sergeant Collins.
What do you want from me? I ain't done nothing.
We want some information on somebody we think used to work for you.
Oh, well, that's different. Come on back to the office. Very glad to help. Well, nice day, ain't it?
Sure is.
I wish I had time to play golf or something like that. You know, they ought to build a golf course with floodlights so people like me with screwy hours could play the game.
It's not a bad idea.
Well, sit down, fellas. How about a drink?
No, thanks. You?
No, thanks.
Okay, fellas, what can I do for you?
About a year and a half ago, you had a stripper working for you. She was called Babs, the brunette bombshell, remember?
Can't say that I do. A year and a half ago, huh? No. Well, you know, I hire a lot of them dames. Got two working now.
Well, wouldn't your payroll record show it?
Well, sure, fellas. I ain't got nothing to hide. Let's see, a year and a half ago. Now, that would be,
October 1950 through January 51.
Yeah, that's right. I got the records right here. What'd she do?
Well, we... I'm not sure she'd done anything.
October, November, December... Well, you think she's about to do something?
Here, Pete. You take these. Pull anybody with a first name, Barbara.
I don't keep any description of the girls. This must be something big, huh, fellas?
Excuse me, boss. I got a call out here for Lieutenant Guthrie.
Oh, thanks, bartender.
Moon!
Guthrie.
This is Kleinbaum. Doctor is in call. Cashier at the drugstore just died.
Oh. Do you have a family? Do anything you can for him. Thanks, Glenn. Yeah, it's something big, Mr. Roselli. The girl we're looking for held up a drugstore and killed a cashier.
Gee, what do you know? Well, it don't surprise me too much. Like I said, they're a funny bunch, these strippers.
Well, nothing here, Ben. Clean as a whistle.
Okay, Pete. Guess that's all we can do here. Thanks, Mr. Roselli.
Yeah. Oh, say, if you don't mind a suggestion, I just got a great idea. Why don't you check with my booking agent?
Now, where is he?
Over on 14th Street, 743. Jerry Gold, nice guy. He knows every stripper in town.
Mr. Roselli over at the Blue Grotto Centers.
Those. Oh, yeah. Frank, good friend of mine. What kind of talent do you need?
Well, we're looking for information right now. I'm Lieutenant Guthrie. This is Sergeant Carger, Police Department.
We'd
like some information on a girl that bills herself as Babs, the brunette bombshell.
Wow, sounds like a stripper.
Yeah, that's right. She worked the Blue Grotto about a year and a half ago.
Well, there's a big turnover in that kind of an act. Might have something in the file. Here, I'll take a look. See now, jugglers, embassies, strippers, strippers. Here we are. There you are. You're welcome to take a look at them.
Yeah, Pete. Take
care. Year and a half ago, huh? They should be right up in front here. I've only been in business in this town a little over 2 years. Excuse me.
Yeah, sure.
What do you want me to do? Feed them? Well, if anything comes up, I'll call you. Yeah, I'll call you. Goodbye, huh? Man's crazy. You got 6'8" Bernards. They do tricks. Thinks it's great. The size of stages there are nightclubs. You couldn't get 6'8" Bernards on at one time.
Look at this, Ben.
Barbara Kane. 364 South Washington.
Let's see. Oh, I remember. Now that's her. I had a booking for her down in San Diego, the Yellow Parrot. She wouldn't go. Never heard from her since.
Guthrie, this is Sergeant Carger, Miss Kane.
Well, I'm not Miss Kane. I'm Jerry McMillan.
Oh, we Well, do you know a Barbara Kane?
Yeah, I know Babs. She used to be my roommate. Why?
We'd like to get in touch with her.
Was she in trouble?
We think so.
I hadn't seen her for 4 or 5 months, not since we got married.
Well, do you know where she lived?
Yeah, I guess she still lives in the same place. She and Joe had an apartment over on the west side of town. Just a second, I got it in my address book. Yeah, here it is. 1022 West Hamilton, apartment 4.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Miss McMillan.
You know she's worthless.
I don't think so. I don't really know, though.
Oh, what's her name now?
Haynes. Make it Joseph Haynes.
After the marriage. Just up and left. Packed up, took the car and left.
What kind of a car?
It's a Ford Coupe.
Blue?
Yeah. Well, how'd you know? What's the matter? Is Barbara in trouble?
I'm afraid so, Mr. Haynes.
What'd she do?
We think she held up a drugstore, killed the cashier.
What? Oh, she wouldn't do anything like that.
Looks like she did.
Well, she was a little mixed up, but she wouldn't do anything like that.
Do you know where we can get a hold of her?
No, I don't.
Is the car registered in your name?
Yeah.
You know the license number?
Yeah, I got it right here in my key ring. It's 4Z27Y3.
May we use your phone, please?
Oh, sure.
I think you got a check on it.
Right.
Well, but the car is registered to me. It won't have her address on the registration.
Well, that's all right. We'll put out a bulletin on it. Car license renewals were last month. Did you renew the license?
No.
Well, she must have renewed it then. She may have given a change of address.
I just can't believe that Barbara mixed up in something like this. Once in a while, she'd do some funny things, but something...
What do you mean funny, Mr. Haynes?
Well, I don't know. One day things would be great, and then maybe the next day she'd be down in the dumps.
Uh-huh.
She never seemed to be any too well. She had a lot of headaches. I don't know. I figured maybe it was me.
Yeah, just a second. Ben?
Yeah?
There's a new address on it. 627 East Lucas.
Okay, tell Larson to call Quine and Asher. Have them meet us there in half an hour. Tell Quine to check with records and see if there's a warrant on it.
Right.
Larson. When would she get these headaches, Mr. Haynes?
Oh, no particular time. She'd get them and then she'd take the car and go for a ride. When she came back, she'd be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara,
did you ever go with her when she did this?
Yeah.
Oh, no. She wouldn't let me.
You never knew where she went, eh?
No.
Well, okay, Mr. Haynes. Thanks a lot.
Well, I sure hope you fellas are wrong. I still don't think Barbara would do anything like you fellas said. I never could understand some of the things she did, but I sure don't think she'd kill anybody.
There's no record or a want out on us. Barbara Kane or a Barbara Haynes.
I didn't think there would be. You cover the front, Ash gets the rear. Pete and I'll go in. Car isn't around, so keep your eyes open for a blue 1947 Ford Coupe. She's a brunette, 5'7". If she should come up, let her go in.
All right.
Check the girl first.
Thank you. do you want?
Mrs. Rain?
Yeah, what do you want?
We're police officers.
I didn't call you.
We'd like some information on Barbara Haynes, apartment 8.
What's the matter? Did she do something?
You know where she is?
No.
Did you see her go out today?
I never pay attention to what goes on around here. I'm just the manager. I ain't no cop.
Well, we checked and she isn't in her room. We'd like your pass key, please.
What for? You guys ain't supposed to go in her room. What do you want from her? What did she do?
We think she held up a drugstore.
No fooling. You sure it's her?
We think so.
How about that? A criminal living here. Did she get away with much?
Not much. But she shot and killed the cashier.
Oh, my goodness. Wait till my husband hears this. He never did like her.
Could we have your pass key, Mrs. Reed, please?
Well, I guess in a case like that, it'd be all right. Wait a second.
Think she's moved out?
Yeah, I got it.
Hey, think there'll be any shooting?
Not unless she starts it.
What are you going to do?
Wait in her apartment and hope she comes back.
Oh, my goodness.
I'd stay inside the apartment, Mrs. Reed, just in case there is trouble.
Don't you worry, I will.
All right, let's go, please.
Oh, my goodness, wait till my husband hears this.
Okay, lock it. Or she'll have to use a key. Okay, you take the bathroom. I'll start in here.
Joke?
No, this isn't a joke, Mrs. Haynes. When you went for a ride, were you in the neighborhood of 23rd and Slauson?
No, I went to the beach.
Which beach?
Cypress Cove.
What kind of a car do you drive?
A Ford.
What year?
1947.
What model?
Coupe.
Color?
Blue. What's all this about,
anyway? Did you meet anybody at the beach?
No, I don't have to put up with this. What?
From here, you drove straight to Cypress Cove?
Yes.
Did you go out to Slauson?
Yes. If you think I'm going to put up with your...
You said a little while ago that you weren't in the neighborhood of 23rd and Slauson.
I just drove to the beach and went out flossing.
Did you stop anywhere on the way?
No!
You didn't stop in a drugstore?
No, I told you I didn't stop anywhere.
You said you were in the neighborhood of 23rd and Slauson, too. Your car was seen leaving the safety drugstore at 23rd and Slauson.
Well, somebody made a mistake. I'm not in any trouble. I haven't done anything.
Okay, have it your way. Let's go down to the station.
Let's go.
Suspicion of robbery and murder.
Well, you must be off your rocker. You mean I'm under arrest?
That's right. You're under arrest. Do you ever work at the Blue Grotto, Mrs. Haynes?
No. What's the Blue Grotto?
Well, you ever in the entertainment business?
I was a dancer for a while. This is crazy. What are you guys after?
Why don't you tell us what you really did today, Mrs. Haynes?
Leave me alone. I don't feel well. I've got a headache.
You have a lot of headaches?
I didn't do anything. Why don't you let me go home?
Well, if you have a lot of headaches, maybe you ought to go see a doctor.
Tell me
the doctor.
Wells, then. Wells, is this the woman you saw in the store this morning?
Yeah. Yeah, that's her.
All right. You want to tell us about it now, Mrs. Haynes?
All right. And I did it. I had to have money. It takes a lot of money.
Get a stenographer, Quinn.
Welcome back. Well, I think sometimes those writers wrote the title just to challenge people to tongue twisters. I would love to hear a recording of anyone saying any of these three times fast, particularly this week's show. I know that we don't have credits on this particular episode, but the voice of Wells sounded an awful lot like Bob Bailey to me. That could just be me, but that's how it sounds. And this one really just a pure manhunt case. The episodes that we are missing, I should note from the last week's show, according to Digital Deli, all of April, Castro Cop's Killing Carnage Case, The Cornered Cop Killer Case, Nancy's Nauseating Naivety Case, The Corny Complainant Case, and The Big Boy's Brutish Backbending Case. And we have one more episode, I think, and then we should be into a stretch where we only have one lost episode all the way into December, though it does look like there may have been a couple preemptions along the way. We should have a situation where we run through about December 19th with all of the cases, and then a couple scattered episodes heading into 1953 to wrap things up. Okay, well, on we go to listener comments and feedback. Robin writes, "Hi, Adam. Thanks for all you do. I've been listening to your podcast for a while now and felt it was time to contribute. Let me know what I have to do to pick out my gifts. Thank you. Take care, Robin." Well, I do want to be clear. There are two ways you can do it. Some people, if you give through PayPal, you can fill out a comment. There's an option to put a comment and just put in what you want. If it's something simple like Perry Mason or Father Brown, and I'll just assume to send you the first Perry Mason or Father Brown. If you forget or if you have a more complex way of putting your request, then you just go to support.greatdetectives.net, find the one you want, and then once you've donated, you just email me and say, I'd like such and such an extra. And I'll go ahead and make it happen. So just email me, box13@greatdetectives.net, after you give the donation. Now, I mentioned yesterday, I'd talk about what some listeners have had to say about some of the new shows. Some rejoicing about Pat Novak for Hire. Joshua says, "I think Pat Novak is still my favorite. The lines in that show are so funny and odd." Debbie says, "Love Pat Novak. Best lines ever. Good job, Adam." David says, "The Saint, awesome." So he's excited about The Saint. Patrick says, "Love them all. Haven't heard of Easy Money, but I'm sure it's promising." Patrick, Easy Money, I'll just go ahead and say, it's kind of a bunco fraud series where a private detective basically is dedicated to exposing and breaking up various frauds and rackets, and how he infiltrates and deals with them. It's just a fascinating study, and I think very educational. It did over radio a very good job of explaining how a lot of frauds work, and so I think people are going to really enjoy that series. There were a couple listeners who talked about great voices of radio. Kind of egged on by mentioning that we're going to be doing The Adventures of Farrell Marlowe. Sam says, "While I love Bill Gargan and Barry Craig, and Sidney Greenstreet is fantastic as Nero Wolfe, Bob Bailey is the best at Johnny Dollar, and Jack Webb is immortal in Dragnet. Gerald Moore has perhaps the best voice in Detectives, and is clearly my favorite. I've listened to every episode in the Philip Marlowe series at least three times. Can you think of a more distinctive detective actor?" And John Boehner has my favorite dramatic voice in all of old-time radio. Who's your favorite dramatic voice? We all know that Mel Blanc has the best voice in stage, screen, radio, or television ever, in my humble opinion. Sue says William Conrad also had a great voice. Another favorite of mine is Larry Haynes, who later starred in Search for Tomorrow, a TV soap. So those comments from Sam and Sue, I have to admit, the voice of Gerald Morris, Philip Marlowe, is perfect. You know, just puts so much emotion. And I think, you know, unless you've read the book, you know, given the a lot of people will associate more with Marlowe more than anyone else. He actually played the role in more episodes. The voice, absolutely perfect for the role. It's tough to compare because across all genres, but I do like more in that. I would, and with Sue's edition of William Conrad, I think the list is complete of some of radio's great dramatic actors. Larry Haynes, her mentioning that one, surprised me. And maybe Haynes might be underrated in my mind just because he tended to get roles really towards the end of the golden age of radio when a lot of the star power had just gone out. We do hear him in Easy Money coming up this year. Also, we'll hear him in the Mike Hammer radio series. But these are very late in the detective, series. The one actor I'd add, both comedy and, drama, but primarily comedy for a great voice is, Gail Gordon. He had great flexibility, great range. We're gonna hear him in the casebook of, Gregory Hood. But he was really known, you know, on the comedic side, he had this kind of, slow burn thing he did. You know, it made him a great Osgood Conklin, but he really just had, so much talent and was able to play so many roles. He played heroes, he played villains, he played comedy, he played action. He's, of course, as I said, he's best known as the voice of Osgood Conklin. You know, he was also Mayor LaTrivia, and he was also Mr. Judson, the Texas oil man on the Burns and Allen show. And, Flash Gordon, and of course Gregory Hood, and so many other characters, really a great deal of flexibility. So I'd put Gail Gordon in there, probably under comedy drama. And Larry Haynes, well, I'll let listeners decide for themselves on that. Well, that will do it for today. Join us tomorrow for our final Play It Again episode. This one is a treat listeners have been asking for a while, and we give it to them. So be sure and listen, and we'll be back on Monday with yours truly, Johnny Dollar. And then join us back here on Saturday for another episode of The Lineup. In the meanwhile, I send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.